It seems like now that we're kind of moving into the fall, I'm sure you're experiencing this in a lot of ways, now that we're past Labor Day, things are just kind of kicking into gear. School's starting, ministries are launching, things are happening, right? You know, I was kind of reminded of this past Labor Day Monday. I ran by, turned on the TV for a little bit in the house, and I noticed that Band of Brothers was playing all day. I don't know if you're familiar with that miniseries, but I've seen it before, and I really wanted to watch it all day. I just didn't have time. Anybody else ever heard of that one? Yeah, you might see a few heads nodding. And I turned it on for a little bit and caught one episode, and it was the Battle of the Bulge episode, specifically the 101st Airborne Division, as they were dug in there at Bastogne. And they were there along with the 28th Armored Division. The American troops are there in the middle of winter, day after day, getting pounded because they're surrounded by heavy German artillery all around them. This is happening for several days. And then the German commander decides to send a letter to our commander. And his name was von Lutzwitz. And he's calling for the Americans to fully surrender, unconditionally surrender. And here's a few of the lines from the letter that he sent to our commander. Here's what von Lutzwitz said. There's only one possibility to save the encircled USA troops from total annihilation. That is the honorable surrender of the encircled town. In order to think it over, a term of 2 hours will be granted beginning with the presentation of this note. If the proposal should be rejected, one German artillery corps and six heavy AA battalions are ready to annihilate the USA troops in and near Bastogne. The order for firing will be given immediately after this 2 hours term. Well, our commander had something to say back to him. Brigadier General Anthony McAuliffe gave a one-word response. I don't know if you know what this response was, but here it is. Nuts! He's not asking for Christmas nuts. He's letting that German commander know that he's nuts if he thinks the American forces are going to surrender, and that charged our guys up. But it does kind of seem nuts, right, to surrender. Yet our mission statement here at Faith E Church is this: becoming fully surrendered disciples who love God, love others, and who share Jesus. Now, if you've been around for any length of time, that should sound reasonably familiar to you. You've probably heard that before. But I want you to focus on those first three words, specifically words 2 and 3, fully surrender. Because that's not our natural way of thinking. That's kind of a bit counterintuitive. It's certainly countercultural. Some would even say to surrender, to fully surrender, that just seems nuts. Yet that's our mission statement. And we thought it'd be good to take a Sunday as we move into the ministry year to talk about our mission statement here at Faith E Church, because more importantly than it being our mission statement, this is what Jesus told us to do. It's part of a lot of the songs we sing. And this is a command from Jesus himself. So if you would, take your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 23 through 26. That's what we're going to read. We're really going to hone in on just one verse, Luke 9, 23. We have Bibles underneath the seat in front of you if you need one. I always encourage you to bring the Word of God with you to church. Luke 9, 23 through 26, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament. And if you follow along, I think we're going to have the verses up on the screen as well. Follow along if you would as I read. Then he said to them all, and this is Jesus speaking, this is words in red. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, you make it clear what it looks like to follow you. Thank you, you don't ask us to do anything you haven't already done. And thank you that we have your Spirit inside of us as Christians. That's where the power comes from. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to us today. Oh, we need to hear from you. Transform us. May we look more and more like the King whom we serve and whom we follow. And it's in his name, the mighty name of Jesus, that I pray. Amen. Those words we just read, Jesus makes that statement directly after he just got done telling his disciples that soon he will be rejected and killed. And the statement Jesus makes, we find it in all three of the synoptic gospels, meaning Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because it's important. But before we really dig into this passage, those verses, I think it's important also to go back and define the word disciple. A lot of you know what it is, probably, but to be a disciple means that you're a learner. You're a learner. You're a follower. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody who learns from and follows their master. It's kind of like being an apprentice. And so Jesus makes it very clear, abundantly clear, the cost of discipleship. He makes it very clear what one must do to be an apprentice of his, because he says in verse 23, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, then you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Three verbs he gives us: deny, take, follow. Three verbs. This is what forms our outline for today. This is what you see in your worship guide. Deny, take, follow. That's what disciples of Jesus do. That's what it means to be fully surrendered. Piece of cake. Let's just call it like it is here for a sec. I mean, this is hard teaching. This is difficult teaching from Jesus. This is a high calling. I mean, the world we live in, it can be hard sometimes to follow Jesus, right? And I think perhaps at times we do a disservice to newer Christians by not helping them understand this call, by not helping them understand that. Now look, following Jesus is the best adventure you're ever going to be on, absolutely. And following Jesus, that's where you find life, real life, abundant life, eternal life. Following Jesus, that's where we have that deep-seated joy that no matter what happens in this world, in this life, we can rest assured we have hope, we have peace. That's shalom. That's where that's found, is following Jesus. The world doesn't offer that, but it's sometimes hard still. It's difficult to follow Jesus because it seems like more often than not, it means that we don't go the way of the world. We don't live like the rest of the world does. As Christians, we're not called to be impacted by culture, but instead impact culture with the gospel. That's the call. I think sometimes following Jesus is a bit hard because it means surrender. It means surrendering our plan and our will into his hands and trusting his will and his plan for our lives, even if everybody else thinks it's nuts. And so the very first thing, the very first step in this process, the first thing that Jesus says is, oh, you got to deny yourself. It takes denying self. And that word deny, it's the Greek root word for that. We see it throughout the scriptures. It's also used to describe Peter and his denial of knowing Jesus the night that Jesus was betrayed. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. It's a strong word in the Greek because it means to repudiate, to disassociate, to disown. You see, to deny self means that we disassociate, we disown what we think is best for our lives and trust God because his best is so much better. This is hard. This can be hard because, you know, it just turns out that it just so happens that we're naturally in love with ourselves. A few uncomfortable laughs out there. Don't worry. I'm with you. We deal with a lot of self-love. And let's face it, the culture, the world we live in seems to promote this idea at an ever-increasing rate, right? Just learn to love yourself more. Just have more self-love. I called a buddy of mine that's been in the counseling world for a number of years. He's experienced, and I just wanted to check myself in this thought and all of this, and he's a Christian. I said, all right, here's the deal. It seems to me, at least, that modern-day secular therapeutic counseling seems to be promoting, prescribing this idea that, you know what, if you just love yourself more, if you just learn to have more self-love, if you just love yourself more, you'll be a better person. Things are going to work out for you. You're going to be more fulfilled, content, and happy. That's what it seems like to me. Is that true? And he said, oh, 100%, absolutely true. And he said something that I thought that was rather profound. He said, you know, Polly, I got to tell you, ever since we really started, and it's pretty much we're there, taking God out of the equation, out of our culture, we've turned the worship and glory that should go to him, and we've turned that to worshiping and glorifying ourselves. Yeah. I guess the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about a few thousand years ago when he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. You know, sometimes I wonder if the best advice we can give to at least some people is, if you want to help yourself, you need to get over yourself. Now look, I want to just kind of pause and slow down a little bit here, because I know there's some people in here today that might be thinking, Paul, I don't love myself. I don't even like myself. Paul, I hate myself. Paul, there's nothing lovable about me. And what I want to say to you is this: there is a God who loves you. And he doesn't make junk. And no matter how you've been treated, what's happened to you, what's been said to you, what lies the enemy may be telling you, I want you to hear this right now. You have dignity and value because you are made in the image of God. And he loves you. So if you're in that place, if you're in that space, I want you to hear that. God loves you. He loves you. And I also want to say that I am so, so grateful. I am so thankful to be part of a church body that provides Christian counseling resources. We have that through something called CCEF, which stands for Christian Counseling Education Foundation. In this world we live in, we so desperately need Bible-based, biblically sound counseling. And so I'm grateful for that. But at the end of the day, there's just no doubt in my mind, and it's so true, that at least at some level, every one of us deals with that inward-focused, self-absorbed selfishness. Now, don't raise your hand, anything like that, but I bet a high percentage of us came to church even just today with thoughts like, well, I hope my parking spot close to the building is going to be available. I hope my seat's not taken. I don't want to sit up front too close to Pastor Paul. I don't want that. I hope the worship center is at just the temperature that I like. You know, that's 70.5. I like it at that temperature. Actually, I like it a little cooler. I hope that my coffee is made the way I like it. It's black, bitter, dark, and it has some charge. That's what I want. I drink some coffee, in case you're wondering. I hope we sing the songs that I like. I hope they're not too loud. I hope they're not too soft. I hope Paul says something interesting and he says something that I like. That's just a Sunday morning, right? Again, don't raise your hand, but how many of us every day deal with those kind of thoughts? It's because it's so easy to slip into that place of, well, self-love. Deal with it. We took a vacation a few months ago, and I did what you do on vacation. I pull out my cell phone, and I usually don't have this with me, but I just kind of wanted to have it today, and I'm taking pictures. What you do on vacation, right? And I took a picture of a T-shirt that I saw. I thought it was kind of fascinating. I thought it kind of summed up a little bit of the culture and the world we live in, and so I put it up on the screen for you right now. Now, I don't know if you can see the bottom right-hand quadrant there, but what it says is, you probably can't, self-love is the best love. And I sat there pondering that for a little bit, and I thought to myself, if that is true, if self-love is indeed the best love, why aren't things, and that's what's being prescribed and promoted, why aren't things getting better in the world? It seems like things are getting a lot worse. Hint, hint, the best love is not self-love. Self-love is not the best love. Best love is not self-love. It turns out that it's selfless love. That's the best love. Now, selfless love doesn't mean hating yourself. Selfless love does not mean thinking less of yourself. Selfless love is thinking of yourself less often. Jesus Christ demonstrated perfectly what selfless love looked like by how he lived and by what he said. And this is what he said about love. This is the greatest commandment, he said. Oh, everything else hinges on this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything, all the law and prophets hinge on those two. Love God, love others. This is why it's the second portion of our mission statement. Love God, love others, share Jesus. It's why we focus on how can we help everybody, include all of us, grow in those areas. It's why we do things like encourage you to come to church on a Sunday morning. By the way, good job being here today. It's It's where we dig into God's word. It's where we fellowship with one another. It's why we encourage you to be in God's word throughout the week, at least 4 days. That's where transformation takes place. It's why we encourage you to talk to the creator of the universe daily, all the time. Pray to God. It's why we encourage you to do things like get involved in a small group, which, like Lonnie mentioned earlier, those launch next Sunday. If you're not in a small group, I'm just telling you, you're missing out, because it's in that space where transformation takes place. It's that space where you're known and you know others. If you're not in a small group, I'd encourage you to jump in. You got time. Take a Connect card. Fill it out. We'll contact you this week. Don't miss the opportunity. Groups are good. Yeah, sometimes hard. Take a little sacrifice. But they're good. And finally, we encourage you to figure out a way to serve. Kind of changes our attitude a little bit when we serve. Those are really the five rhythms that we encourage around that spiritual formation area of loving God, loving others, and sharing Jesus. And so we're going to do something right now in the service. We don't normally do this, and I don't remember the last time we had. Maybe we haven't, I'm not sure. But I'm going to ask you to pull out your cell phone. I've got mine, I already showed you. Please pull out your cell phone, and I'm assuming most of you have one. If you don't, that's okay, I'll give you instructions later. Wave this thing at me if you would. Oh, look at that, that's cool. And you got your cell phone, don't take a selfie with it. I mean, you can if you want. But turn on your camera function if you would, please. And at the bottom of your worship guide, there in the notes section, you're going to see that little grid-looking thing. That's called a QR code. Would you scan that with your camera function? I think we're going to have it on the screen. And this is for everybody, including those online. I think we've got that picture online, too. Grab your phone, scan that. It's going to take you to a survey. Now, I know, before you roll your eyes and say, Paul, no. Before you turn off your phone, I'm not going to do another survey. Please do. Demonstrate a little selfless love for me if you would. Because the five questions you're answering are directly, they're the five things I just covered. We want to do a little pulse check, a little pulse survey, see how we're doing as the body of Christ. How are we doing in these areas? Because it's going to help inform us, it's going to help us as we move forward following the Lord and how best we can serve. And I want you to know, as you're doing this, I'm seeing a lot of heads down. This is good. Fill this out. And as you are, I want you to know it's anonymous. It's not tied to who it is, who's filling it out. We're just going to get all the results. We're actually going to share them next week. But fill this out if you would, please. And if you're new with us, again, we don't do this normally, but I encourage you to do it as well. Because here's the deal. More importantly than anything else, this is giving you a moment right now. Please do, right now, to really self-reflect. And think about how you're doing in each of these areas. So take a moment, fill that out now, if you would. And if you don't have a phone with you, that's okay. You can do this a little later. There's a URL. You can go online. You can figure it out. Giving you time. 5 questions. Don't overthink them. I'm going to give time because I see some heads not down. Sorry, I'm being teacher. My teacher would always say, head down, hands moving. It's hard to see. Looks like you guys are getting there. Keep it rolling. Clyde's working hard. Good job, Clyde-o. Steve has no clue what's happening. Cell phone, Steve, it's okay. Flip phone, yeah. Love you, brother. All right. Spiritual pulse, spiritual checkup. Ongoing thing. Obviously, having a spiritual pulse is something that continues, should be an ongoing thing. I mean, becoming a fully surrendered disciple, this is something we grow into. It's a process. It's a process. And the first step is denying self, selfless love. And then Jesus goes on in verse 23 and says this, deny yourself, and if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. That's the next verb. After deny, take up your cross. Now, I mean, you know, a lot of us wear crosses around our neck. We have a cross on stage, and this is a good thing. It's a good reminder. I mean, I have crosses on the bracelets that I'm wearing today, and that's not bad, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. That's not taking up our cross. And when Jesus says this, the audience, the people that he's saying this to, would have had a very clear picture of what he's talking about, because the Roman cross meant what? Death. You see a cross, somebody be dying. Somebody's going to be dead. Somebody's going to be nailed to it. And so when Jesus says to take up your cross, what he's talking about is that we must die to self. It's dying to self. The Apostle Paul talks about this, and he lays it out quite clearly in Galatians 2:20, because he says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's what it looks like to be crucified, to be killed, to die to self. It's crucifying that sin nature, that flesh nature that's inside of us. It's dying to self. It's putting to death ourselves. You know, speaking of next weekend, we're actually going to celebrate because we have several people that will make a public proclamation that they're putting to death themselves. Huh? That's weird. Why do we celebrate that? Because through the act of baptism, they are publicly declaring that they are dead to themselves. They've been crucified with Christ and risen to new life in him. That's what baptism is about. That's why it's a sacrament, a sacred moment. That's why it's special. That's why we celebrate. It's a big deal. And if you haven't been baptized yet and you feel like God's calling you to take that step of faith, oh, you ought to do it. Don't miss out. You have an opportunity next weekend to publicly declare that you're dead to yourself. It doesn't end there. Like I said, this is an ongoing thing. That's why Jesus says, take up your cross daily. And when I saw that, at least for me, I thought about death by 1,000 paper cuts, right? You ever heard that before? Why did I think that? Because, well, daily. Daily. I have to kill Paul. Because you know what? Paul loves self. I daily got to kill Paul because Paul likes doing things his way. He thinks it's the best way. I daily got to kill Paul because Paul is prone to wander. I daily got to kill Paul because Paul is every bit capable of being on that show Cops. You know what I'm talking about? Not as one of the cops, but as one of the robbers, one of the bad guys. When Paul lives apart from Christ, Paul loves creeping back in there. That's why having a rhythm of repentance, not being afraid to get on our knees before our Creator, before our Lord, and confessing what's going on in our life, humbling ourselves, and then turning from it, asking for his strength to turn from it, and then confessing to another brother or sister. That's what that looks like. It's that rhythm. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to confess, that you need to crucify, that you need to kill. Deal with it. And ask for God's help as you turn from it and turn towards him. Deal with it. Because you know what? The more that we die to self, the more alive we are made in Christ Jesus. The more the very Spirit of God fills us. And it's that kind of relationship that helps with sin. It's not sin management. That's not going to work. It's about a relationship. It's about Christ in us. And the more we're filled with the Spirit of God, the more we're filled with the Spirit of Christ, we look more like the King that we serve. And you know what that's called? It's a fancy word. It's called sanctification. And sanctification simply means becoming like Jesus. It's a picture of holiness. In holiness, holiness is where we find life. Following Jesus, obeying him, surrendering to him, that's where we find. We have an entire world that's wondering, where is life? Where do I find life? I want life. How do I find life? And they're trying all things. Here's where you find life. You find life dying to yourself. That's where it is. The way to life is death to self, being made alive in Christ. That's why Jesus says in verses 24 and 25, this is what he says. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? And for those of us who have experienced, for those of us who live in, who are filled with, who understand the love and the grace of Jesus Christ and God in our lives, that naturally should come spilling out of us, and we should be loving and gracious people to others. Love God, love others. But this can be hard sometimes. Loving people, extending grace in this world that's so divided, so disenfranchised with one another. So hard to see other people as image bearers sometimes, isn't it? Where do we start? Deny self, selfless love, take up your cross. Where do we even start? It's the small things. That's where we start. A gesture, a kind act, an act of grace. It's not becoming like culture, but it's impacting culture. Aim small, miss small. I mean, how often do we wake up and think, God, would your grace flow through me today? Would I be a light to the world around me? How often do we think that? Challenge. How often do we think throughout the day, God, would you work through me so I can bless other people? Small thank yous, acts of grace, those types of things. Oh, I miss it all the time. How often do we see the people around us? See people. No, see people. And what's going on in their world and just simply try to encourage. How often do we do this type of stuff? We talked about in the evangelism series, every day, move everybody closer to Jesus. How often are we living that way? I miss it more often than not. I really do. But I didn't the other day. At the car shop getting something done. This guy had helped me before. And I'll tell you what, great service. Nice guy. I mean, yeah, sure. He's doing that because of his job. But I don't see this kind of service very often. I don't see this kind of, you know, taking care of people that he was doing. And I said to him, I just want you to know, I just want to say thank you. Thanks for what you're doing here. And I want you to know you're doing a good job. I talked to my wife about you, and we both thought, man, you do such a good job. That's all I said. I didn't pull out the Bible. I just said that to him. And he lit up. He said, I appreciate that. And he said, I never hear that. We live in a world full of people who never hear that. When I was in corporate America, one of my jobs was training other leaders, and I wanted to make sure that they understood that there's a difference between being a manager and a leader. You know what I'm talking about. I don't think there's servant leaders. You're not a leader unless you know how to serve. So what I did is I would give them, I mean, Jesus Christ got down on his knees. Sorry, I'm going off on a side, but Jesus got down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet, including one that would betray him the night that he was crucified. I'd give them 10 pennies. Every time I would train a new leader, they got 10 pennies. I had read this somewhere. I can't quote where it's from. I just put it into practice, and it was good. I gave them 10 pennies, and I would require them. I told them, I want you to put these 10 pennies in your left pocket. And then you move them to your right pocket by the end of the day, and here's how I would tell them to do that. Every time you thank a staff member, every time you thank a team member, every time you go above and beyond serving somebody, every time you just do a little act of kindness and grace, you take one penny from your left and you move it to your right. At the end of the day, let's see how you do. There's always that little jingle to remind. And you might say, well, that sounds awful forced. Well, I think sometimes we've got to force ourselves to do this, don't we? Sometimes it's going to be hard work. Sometimes we have to be intentional, because the more intentional we are about it, the more it becomes a habit and a rhythm in our lives. I had a lady that had worked her way up the corporate food chain, single mom, and she ate this up. She's like, Paul, I need more. I went and got more pennies. I'm doing 20 or 30, and she was a great leader. And I had another young guy. He quite capable. Absolutely. Thought he kind of wanted to take the world by the tail. And it was like pulling teeth for me to try to get him to move 2 pennies from his left pocket to his right. It was. And I remember I walk in one day and there's garbage stacked in front of the door, and I'm like, yo, what's the deal? Why didn't you just take time to throw it out? And he's like, well, I'm an MBA. I don't throw out garbage. Worked for me for about a week. You've heard the old adage, if you're too big for the small things, I've heard this just this past week. It means you're too small for the big things. Look, we don't need zero penny, two penny Christians in this world. We need 10 cent Christians. We need 10 cent Christians. Grab your worship guide if you would. You'll see two blank lines under take up your cross. Would you write 10 cent? This is easy. 10 pennies. Guarantee you have 10 interactions in 2 hours in most days. Be a 10 cent Christian. Be a 10 cent Christian. It's challenging for me, I'll be honest. I'm here with you. But it's a challenge we've got to keep revisiting. It's why we have this map up on the wall here. Loving our neighbors. You can start with our neighbors. Love our neighbors. Light up the city of Billings. You know, I'm going to pull up my phone again. Okay. Let's say we have 1,500 people. They call Faith either home times 10. Well, that's 15. Paul, you can do that. That's 15,000. Okay, let's say all of us were on mission every single day of this year till next September or whatever. How many days? 365, right? Okay. All right. Cool. In case you're wondering. 475,000 acts of grace and kindness. Faithy Church alone. Little things that add up. You think that makes a difference? Imagine if every single Christian in the city of Billings did that. Different place. Be a 10 cent Christian. Jesus said in Matthew, when he returns, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. I kind of feel like in some ways it's already happening. Those with real faith, it's already happening. But when Jesus comes, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. Goats on his left, sheep on his right. And to the sheep, he'll say, good job. Now it's time for you to take your eternal reward, the kingdom that's been prepared for you since the beginning of time. Because you fed me. You clothed me. You took care of the least of these. You brought them in. You visited them in prison. That's what he says in Matthew 25. You did those types of things. You took care of me when I was sick. Now look, it's not the act of kindness. It's not the acts of grace that save us. No, but it's certainly an indication of God's saving grace in us and that his love and grace is in us. It's a saving faith lived out. That's what that looks like. And really, it's what Jesus is saying in our text today in verse 26 when he says, when I come back, for those who are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of them. When the Son of Glory returns. Be a 10 cent Christian. Deny yourself. Selfless love. Take up your cross. Be a 10 cent Christian. And finally follow Jesus. It's kind of what we've been talking about really all along. Following Jesus. You know, our last sermon series was titled Abide. We looked at the I Am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. And we talked about abiding. That's what following Jesus is. Abiding in Christ. Because when we abide in the I Am, it changes who we are. And those rhythms of abiding we just talked about with the pulse check, the pulse survey, those are the rhythms in the life of a disciple, abiding and following Jesus. And when Jesus says this during the days of antiquity, during his day, they would have understood, the people would have had this picture. This is what would have come to their mind, because when they think about a disciple, somebody following their master, they would have thought about this, that the person behind their master, behind that person in front of them, they follow so closely, they're so close to them that literally the dust from the person's feet in front of them is kicking up and covering the person behind them. You get that picture? That's what following Jesus looks like. I know we don't always get it right, but that's where we are heading. Follow Jesus, be covered in his dust. As a matter of fact, they would have a common blessing, a common statement that they would say to one another. They would say this, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. That's cool, I think. So I know I have you participating in the service, going to ask you to do it again. Would you turn to somebody next to you, behind you, and bless them that way? Would you do that right now? Let's hear a bunch of people saying, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Do that now if you would. Some of you did like 10 people. That's cool. may be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Next week, we are going to start a study through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go verse by verse through Mark. I'm going to take a little time. And we're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. It's my prayer. It's my hope, and I'm confident that we're going to be covered in the dust of our rabbi as we do. That starts next week, and I'm excited. I'm excited to go through that. Deny self, selfless love. Take up your cross. Be a 10-cent Christian. Follow Jesus. Be covered in the dust of your rabbi. That's what it looks like to be fully surrendered. There's one last thing I really haven't talked about, I haven't covered, that I feel the Lord just laid this on my heart when I started thinking about this, and I think it's a word that every single one of us needs to hear. I need to hear it. All of us need to hear this in the world in which we live, in the culture that we find ourselves, this cultural moment that we find ourselves. We all need to hear this, and here it is. Jesus won. Jesus won. Jesus won. He stands victoriously over the grave, over death, over sin, over hell, because Jesus Christ won. Our battle today in our temporary home on planet Earth, our battle is to daily deny self, which that's not a bad thing because Jesus Christ won. And he says, feast on me because I am the bread of life. I will fill you up. Our battle today is to daily take up our cross. That's not a bad thing because Jesus Christ won. And he is the resurrection and the life. Our battle today is to daily follow Jesus. And that's certainly not a bad thing. That's a good thing because Jesus Christ won. He's our good shepherd and we get to be covered in his dust. He's the kind of shepherd who knows his sheep by name. He won. And you know what? You know what's nuts? Let me tell you what's nuts. Not surrendering to Jesus Christ. That's what's nuts. That's what's nuts. Would you take your worship guide? You probably got it in your hand. One last little thing I'm going to ask you to do. You see four blank lines there towards, I think it's the bottom somewhere. It says, becoming. Because Faith E Church, here's where we're heading as we move forward. Here's where we're heading. Write this out, if you would, please. Got it on the screen. But we're becoming 10-cent dust-covered Christians. That's where we're going. That's where we're heading. And I'm excited about it in case you can't tell. But we're becoming 10-cent dust-covered Christians, and I hope you want to go there too. So could I ask you to please stand? Worship team's coming back up here in just a moment right now, and they're going to sing one final song. You might have even be able to guess what it is. It's called I Surrender All. It's an oldie and it's a goodie. And there's a lot of people here today, and this is going to be, I think it's going to be cool. Because during the song, what I'm going to ask you to do, what I'm going to invite you to do, encourage you to do, is we have four baskets up front. We have four baskets up front, and each of those baskets, you'll find a little bag. Everybody take one of those little bags. And in the bag, we got 10 pennies for you. We're giving you 10 cents. Not a bad deal. When you come to church, we're giving you 10 pennies to help you on this journey around where we're heading. So grab one of those. We also have some more of these bracelets that say Fully Surrendered Disciples. If you don't have one, we got one of those on each side. But I hope you go with us. And let's just, it's going to be neat. I know it's going to be crowded, but let's get up here while the song is going. Grab the pennies, grab a bracelet if you want, and then go back to your seat. Spend some time with Jesus. You can sing along. Maybe there's something in your life you need to kill. It needs to be crucified. It needs to be dealt with. Deal with it. Perhaps God is calling you by name today because you've never even surrendered your life to him. Don't miss this moment. Another day is no guarantee. Surrender your life to Jesus and then let somebody know the step that you took. Let somebody know. But let's take some time, come up front, grab these pennies, and let's surrender all. Do that now. Coming forward, and if you didn't make it up during the song, during this time, you can come up afterwards, and we'll keep these up here. Grab 10 pennies and a bracelet, and that would be great. And as you're standing, just a couple housekeeping things. First, if you could use prayer, maybe you need to surrender something, and you just need somebody to pray with you. We have some godly men and women up front, and it's always a privilege to pray. Perhaps you even surrendered your life to Jesus today. We'd love to pray with you and help you on your new journey. It's an adventure. It's fantastic. And we're here for you. We want to celebrate and help you with that. Also, if you came prepared today to give of tithes and offerings, we do have boxes in the back. There's a link online. Don't drop those pennies in those boxes either. Yeah. And, all right. One last thing. We're going to give you. We start Mark next week, and we've been providing scripture journals, and we have those once again. Gives a little background information about Mark, and it lays out how we're going to be studying it in there. And so When you leave, you'll have an usher that should be there by those doors. Make sure you grab a marked scripture journal. And here's what I'm going to challenge you with this week. First, obviously, be a 10-cent Christian. Use those pennies. Move them from the left to the right. And then also, I challenge you to get some dust, get covered in some dust by reading through Mark this upcoming week as we prepare for next weekend, okay? All right, guys, it's time to get out of here. Let me just say I love you. Let's go. Let's leave this place and let's be a bunch of 10-cent dust-covered Christians. Have a great week.